Well, let's open up our Bibles again and read from 1 John 4, continue the theme of love, God's love that we were looking at last week, seeing that we can't judge God's love from our circumstances, but rather from the cross. And we're going to see tonight that God's love is truly beyond any other kind of love that we know. Verse 7 of 1 John 4 and verse 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Well, I don't know how familiar you are with eBay. I wonder how many people here use eBay. It's a great place to get rid of things that you no longer need, but someone else might. But people buy the most incredible things on eBay and pay the most outlandish prices for them sometimes. It's quite interesting just to see that our website's devoted to listing some of the sales that have been made on eBay of things that are almost worthless, and yet they sold for incredible sums of money. Apparently, a couple of years ago, a little box of sun-made dried raisins, all raisins are dried, but sun-made California raisins, you know the little red boxes? We used to put them in lunch boxes of our kids, sun-made. This was a box someone must have found in the back of a cupboard from 1956. It's one of the early boxes. Yeah, I don't suppose the raisins are doing much good to eat, but this little box, 2-inch high, was put on eBay and sold for $700,000. Okay? I'm not going to say anything about the mental state of the person who bought it, but I would question their sanity. Why? I guess it might be worth a wee bit because it's an early example of an icon, if you like. But, you know, why pay for so little with so much? But that's the question all of us should be asking when we look at the cross. Why pay for so little with so much? Peter says, you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The price paid was vast and incalculable. The objects redeemed, those who were bought, of no real value. I don't suppose the universe would really notice if we all disappeared. I don't suppose this beautiful world would be sorry to see mankind go, given how we treat it. Pretty worthless lot, really. And yet, Jesus died for us. Why pay so much for so little? And the only answer you can give is because of love. It's a sign of love. But not just any kind of love. Not human love. It's far beyond human love. It's a sign of God's love. And if we're going to show that kind of love in our lives, we need God in our lives to enable us to show it. So let's have a wee look at verse 7. Now if you read verse 7 very, very carefully and think about it very, very carefully, it's puzzling. The first part of verse 7 is familiar ground, I think. Dear friends, let us love one another. And we think, well, we've seen that before. Jesus said it, and it's often said by the apostles in different writings and letters and so on. Love is important. It's central to the Christian life. But then verse 7b, for love comes from God, might make us begin to scratch our heads. Like, does that mean all love comes from God? Does that mean that you can't love without God? What about people all over the world who know nothing of God, who would say that they love? John seems to be saying here that we're to love one another, but that the love he's talking about is something other than the general love of mankind. But it's a special love that only comes from God. And verse 7c seems to confirm that. He says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So what he's saying about love here is that if you love in the way John's talking about here, you must be a Christian, because you've been born of God and you know God. These are terms that only are true of a Christian. Someone who's got a true relationship with God, who knows his or her sins to be forgiven, and who has eternal life. You're born of God, you know God. So John is saying in verse 7 at the end, only a true Christian can know this love. Or put it a different way, if you show this love in your life, you must be a true Christian. It's not the first time he said that in this letter. We read it back in verse 14 of chapter 3. We know that we've passed from death to life. It's another term for being Christian. Because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death, is not a Christian, doesn't know God, doesn't know God's forgiveness. So to have this love John's speaking about is to be a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you can't have this love. That's what John is saying. And it's a bit of a puzzle, because lots of people say they love. I mean, a dictator who's ruthless might love his cat. And if he loves his cat, does that mean he's a Christian? Because it says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Or a Muslim woman might love her husband. So does that mean she's a Christian? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Or an atheist might love his children. Does that mean he's a Christian? Because it says everyone who loves has been born of God. How can we make sense of what John's saying here? And the only way we can make sense of it is to think, well, the love John's speaking about isn't common love. It's not just human love in general. It's not even, you know, the strongest romantic love. It's not the love that binds a man and a wife who've been married for 60 years or whatever. It's not even that love. It's not even the love of a mother for her suckling child. It's not even that kind of love. John is talking about another love. He's talking about a love that only exists from God and in God, and it only exists in those who know God. So what verse 7 is saying is, saying, dear friends, let's love one another, but not with a merely human love, like the love we had before we were Christians, but with the love we've discovered in God, with love that's found in God alone. And if we show that kind of love, the love that's found only in God, then we can know that we're born of God, we're his children, that we know God, we know that he's at work in us, his spirit is bearing this fruit of love in our lives. And then verse 8 makes sense, following on, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This special love that's from God, you can't show it, you can't show it if you're not a Christian. If you don't show it, it means you're not a Christian. You don't belong to God. So then we have to ask, well, you know, what is this love? Have we made sense of verse 7? Have we understood it right? Well, Jesus said exactly the same thing in the command we studied a couple of weeks ago in John 13. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." What Jesus is saying there is, I'm talking about a new kind of love here. It's a new command. It's about a new kind of love. What kind of love is that? Well, it's not a love you've seen before. It's the love that I have loved you with. That's the kind of love that you're to love one another with. So what is that kind of love? That's our question. What kind of love is this amazing and special love? And the answer that John gives immediately is in verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed this love, this special kind of love among us. That love that only appears in human life among people who know God. This is how God showed that love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So it's a love that is capable of giving a one and only Son. It's the love of God that's capable of giving his Son for us as a sacrifice for our sins. Verse 10, it's the love of Jesus. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it's the love of God, it's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus giving his life for our sins, the love of God giving his Son for our sins. And again, John's been saying that already. John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So it's not our love for God. That's what he says in verse 10. This is love, not that we love God. That's not the love I'm talking about, says John. It's not your love, just the natural love of man, of human beings for God. The love I'm talking about, says John, is this. It's that God loved us and sent his Son, and that his Son laid down his life for us. The measure of the love I'm talking about, says John, is not a measure that's found in human society. It's a measure that's found in the Trinity. It's found in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a divine love that's of a quantity and a magnitude and a quality that's entirely above and beyond anything you'll find in human society. Now, you might question that. But remember how Paul puts it. Last week in Romans 5, we read this. You might say, well, but sometimes people do, really make big sacrifices. Isn't that what John's talking about? Well, not this big a sacrifice. Romans 5, Paul says this. He says, very rarely, will anyone die for a righteous man. Although for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But, here's something else. God demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So Paul is saying, sometimes it happens, not very often, but occasionally you'll get a story of someone who's prepared to give their own life for others. Doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it will. As long as they see the others are worthy in some way, they'll be prepared to give their lives. But God's love isn't like that. It's love for the unworthy. And that's something different. Now, sometimes human love gets to great heights. You may know the story of Father Maximilian Kolbe. He was a Polish priest, and he was, along with many Catholic priests, in Auschwitz in the Second World War, in the prison camp. And someone escaped from Auschwitz. And, of course, the German guards were not happy about that at all. So to prevent anyone else feeling any encouragement towards an attempt to escape, they randomly selected 10 people from among the prisoners to starve them to death. to discourage anyone else. He said, if anyone else escapes, we'll take 10 prisoners and we'll starve them to death. So don't escape, because 10 people will die just because you escaped. And as the 10 prisoners were being taken away, one of them, he cried out, "My wife, my children." And Father Maximilian Kobe, who was watching along with the other horrified prisoners, stepped forward and said, "I'm a priest. I don't have a wife. I don't have children. Take me in his place." And they did. It's an amazing story. So they starved these 10 people, and the priests kept ministering to the people as they died, one by one. And he was the last of the 10 to be alive. And they injected him with carbolic acid to finish him off. That's an amazing story of an amazing sacrifice. And we all think, would I have done that? Well, very rarely, says Paul, will someone die for another man like that. But see, this is, even though it's an astonishing story of sacrifice, it's not like God's love. God's love reaches greater heights. He gives his son for the undeserving. Not for those we might think are deserving. Sometimes in human society, a person may say, "I'll give my life for that person because they deserve to live more than I do. Or there's more reason why they should live than I should." But in human society, it doesn't happen like this. It doesn't happen as though you imagine a criminal, an evil person is about to be executed. And a man steps forward and says, "Don't execute him. Give my son, take my son in his place and execute him in place of this criminal." And then the son steps forward and says, "Yes, as my father wishes, I'm willing to be executed in place of this criminal." It doesn't happen. Not in human society. But that's God's love. Romans 5 again puts it like this. Romans 5 verse 6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So three words there. Weak, ungodly sinners. These are the people for whom Christ dies. These are the people for whom God sends his Son. These are the people for whom the Son willingly goes to the cross. God's love is a love that is full of grace. Grace. A love for those who do not deserve to be loved. Who do not deserve that any sacrifice should be made for them. How can we know then? Because John is writing this not just for us to be full of praise to God. He's writing this so that we'll show this love. How can we know that we're showing this love? Well, much of human love is motivated by self-interest. I mean, I'm sure you notice that about yourself. It feels good to show love a lot of the time. Or sometimes it's just that it would feel bad if we didn't show love. So sometimes in relationships it feels good to show love. Or sometimes we know we would feel bad, we couldn't live with ourselves if we didn't do the right thing for someone, show love to them. And love in our relationships is actually, truthfully, mostly like that. And there are higher motivations, but a lot of it is self-interest. Margaret's sitting there disgusted with me. Is that the best you can do? But listen, think about it. Don't we often do great acts of devotion to satisfy our own needs? To make ourselves feel better about ourselves? Do you not ever catch yourself doing that? Are you so lacking in self-awareness that you would miss this? That sometimes it's because other people are watching that you do the things, the good things, the right things, the costly things. So we can think of ourselves as good people or good Christians and sleep well at night and satisfy our conscience. We've done the right thing. We've been kind. We've given money to that cause. We've stopped and helped that person. We've been a good member of the community. A lot of the motivation is self-interest. And if I do that for them, they'll do it for me. And eventually we can get to this place where we feel I'm quite a loving person. And we're happy with the way we feel about ourselves. God's love is not like that. God is not loving us for his benefit. God's not loving us so that he can feel nice inside. He's not loving us so that he can feel better about himself. He's not loving us so that he can be at peace with himself. He's not loving us just because he wants to do the right thing. God's love for us is for our benefit. It's not for his benefit. It's for our benefit. Again, Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us. It's his love for us. It's not his love for himself that he's showing us love for his own benefit. It's his love for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die so he could feel that he was a great example of sacrifice and of self-denial and a great person, and he'd finally could really look himself in the mirror and feel he really was a great saviour. He didn't do it like that. He did it for us. Love for us. If you doubt that, go to Gethsemane. There is nothing at all about going and dying on a cross that appeals to Jesus. Nothing at all. He's not thinking, well, I know it's not going to be easy, but when I'm done with this, I'll really be able to settle down for the rest of eternity, thinking what a great person I am, great saviour I am, great deeds I've done. It'll be great to see how good everyone feels about me. He's not doing that. There's nothing about the cross that appeals to Jesus. And he sweats blood over his repulsion of the cross, his revulsion towards the cross. He absolutely trembles to think of being dealt with by his Father as though he has committed all our sins. So when he goes to the cross, it's not for his benefit. Nothing in it is for his benefit. Nothing in it is for him to feel better about himself or to make up for some inadequacy in himself. He's perfect. He doesn't need anything. He certainly doesn't need to prove anything by dying on a cross. It's all and it's only for us. So how can we know if we are showing this love in our lives? If we're showing this love that John is speaking about here, when he says, let us love one another, this love that only comes from God, how will we know we're showing it? What will it feel like, to put it that way? And the answer is, it will feel like death. Whenever it just feels heartwarming and good and nice and life-affirming, whenever it feels good for us, that's not the love John's talking about. When it feels like death, but we still do it, that's the love John's talking about. Love that springs from human nature, it may rise to great heights of kindness, generosity, altruism, nobility, self-sacrifice for the deserving. But God's love goes further. God's love is self-sacrifice for the undeserving. And we're all undeserving, so if you love me with the love that John's talking about here, it's a love for the undeserving. And it may feel like death to love me because I'm so unworthy of your love. But that's the way it is. God loves the undeserving. And if we're undeserving in God's eyes, we're also undeserving in one another's eyes as Christians. You don't deserve to have me love you, and I don't deserve to have you love me. But if we do love one another, knowing our undeserving, it may feel like death, it will feel like death, but that's when we really know we've got the love of the cross. We've got the love of God in our hearts. When we can show grace to the sinner, when we can show sacrifice for the undeserving, when we can show kindness to those we naturally dislike, when we can show sacrifices which don't in any way benefit us or reward us at all, but are purely and solely for the benefit of others, then we're really beginning to move in the love of God. So we may wonder why someone would pay $700,000 for a little box of raisins. But have we ever wondered why God would give his life, his son, for you? You ever wondered that? Do you think it's inexplicable why someone would give $700,000 for a little box of raisins? How much more should we realize that it's beyond human explaining why God would send a son for us? We're so unlovely, we're so worthless, we're so undeserving. And yet, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So much given for so little. And the only way you can ever understand that act is that it is arising out of a very, very special kind of love. The unique love of God. And John's challenge here to us is twofold. Do we know this love? Do we know ourselves to be loved like this? And also, do we show this love? Let's love one another with that kind of love, says John. For love comes from God. Mm-hmm.